I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to another episode of 5 Out.
When you say 5 Out, what do you mean by that?
We got to talk about Jason Tatum. Where does he stand in the rankings in the NBA? Everybody's talking about now. Is he top 10? Is he not? He's definitely in the conversation. Where do Ty, Matt, and I have him? We'll let you guys know. We also talk about the Lakers and, the Celtics as contenders, how they did against the Lakers. Gordon Hayward. The whole, again, the is he back thing, we're going to address it again because it continues to pop up, whether he is back, he's not, whatever. Then stuff outside of Boston, too. You have the Bucks, them against the Raptors. We have Zion going against LeBron. LeBron's apparently, Ty has something about LeBron that he wants to touch on. I mean, whatever. Steph's coming back. Joel Embiid thinks he's the best player in the NBA. And then RJ Barrett's apparently ready. If you haven't already, you can leave a rating review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, where you guys listen to us. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at 5OutPod.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. Yeah.
Feels good to be back in studio. I do not like doing, especially when we do the three-man shows, I do not like doing those over the computer.
No, they're a pain in the ass.
It's just hard to be as fluid as we normally are when we're in person together, even though you and Matt can never see each other. But we're going to have him over the phone.
So that's probably a good thing, though.
Yeah, this is true. That last week was, it's funny, is there was like, it sounded like Matt and Ty were really pissed. I'm getting that from people who like you a little more and people who like Matt a little more. And I'm like, guys, it's, what do you want? We're not going to get along every single time. It's okay. Ty was saying some pretty dumb shit last time. It happens. The KG fans. Speaking of, elite Celtics and everything like that, Jason Tatum, I feel like even since the last time we recorded the show, because we had the All-Star game and everything, he's taken another step forward. He had the big game against the Lakers. He did well against the Blazers. I know that game only means so much. We're recording this prior to the Jazz game, even though the Celtics are playing the Jazz tonight. The way things are working out and everything, so I can cover the game properly. But now that the conversation surrounding him, and I got Rob Bradford asked me this when I was on with him Sunday after the Lakers game. He said, is Jason Tatum a top 10 player in the NBA? Rob tried to narrow it down with a list of guys and get me to say yes, that he is. And there are guys that I would take over Jason Tatum, right? There are players that I would take Jason Tatum over right now who are elite players. But we're talking about building for the future versus right now. Those are two totally different conversations. So I got asked by Mutt the same question on Monday night. I know you guys have been talking about it with those rat bastards on OMF. They've been touching on it too.
Yeah.
So we'll, you know, I decided to try and put a list together and see what we got. Do you have a list as well too, or like something?
I can go off. I didn't make a list, but okay. I can tell you guys yes or no whether I would take them over Tatum.
Okay, and we'll have Matt.
So I'll just bounce off your list.
Okay, that's perfect. That works just as well. Matt has that list too, so we'll when we get him in over the phone, he'll touch on it too. So right now, I would take the following over Tatum. I would rank the following over Tatum. Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, AD, Jokic, Luka, Joel Embiid. I do not like him more than Tatum, but I'm being objective when I say this. James Harden. If we're accounting for everybody, including the guys that are injured, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Klay Thompson. Okay? That's 13 guys right now.
Wow,
here and
you're
now.
Saying Jason Tatum is not a top 10 player? That the pitchfork should be out for you right now. This is unbelievable.
Well,
everybody in Boston thinks he is, and you're like the only one he isn't.
If you take out Kevin Durant, if you take out Steph because he hasn't really played much this year, because if you look at it this year, what they've done this year, obviously Steph's not a top 10 player because he just hasn't been around. And then if you take out Klay, then Tatum could sneak into my top 10. And you can make the case. I can understand the case about Paul George. But either way, if I'm being firm right now, everybody that's normally healthy and based on what they've done, that's my list ahead of Tatum. I also have Siakam right there with Jason Tatum. And I have Jimmy Butler right there. So he's in that 14 to 16 range right now. That's not saying that I would rather have Tatum. I would not. I still think Tatum is a better guy to build around right now than some of these other guys, because some of these guys will be out of the league in 5 years when Jason Tatum will only be 27 years old, 26, no, 27 years old. So believe me, I'll take that all day. He's definitely, when we talk about guys like 21 and under, he's right up there, of course, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but do you have him in your top 10? I'm taking it as a no.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a joke.
Where do you have him then?
I will name the guys I have ahead of him. It's at least 10, and I think it's more than fair. I have Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, AD, Luka, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler. Did I write that name twice?
Who?
Trae Young. We have that on there.
You put Trae Young ahead of him?
Trae Young's averaging almost 30 and 10.
Yeah, and what is his team's record? It's not like we're talking about Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard was in the Eastern Conference. He would not have the same issues Trae Young has.
But if you trade out Trae Young for Jason Tatum, I think that Hawks team is much worse this year.
Do you? Do you think the Celtics team is better this year?
No.
Okay. Then how can you say that Tatum's better?
Because I think a scoring guard like Trae Young is perfect for a shitty team like Atlanta to put up great stats and probably not win much.
But what does it matter if you're not winning? That's what I mean.
It doesn't matter about the player. The player is still better than one player.
But when we're talking about a league where stars drive the winning and it's all built on them, we're not talking about baseball.
Yeah, we're not giving an MVP vote here.
Right.
There's no value in terms of winning, but Trae Young, the player, is better than Jason Tatum.
I'm not taking him. No, because the other thing's a wing. All we hear is you need a wing scorer, too. And that's what he is. So with
Trae Young, you don't need to have a wing on the court. He will bring the ball up and not initiate any offense and drill three in front of your face at the same efficiency rate as Jason Tatum would.
Oh, my God, Ty. Wow, you really want...
You're a prisoner of the moment.
Because
the rest of the Celtics fans would not ever trade. They absolutely would have traded Trae Young and given up Tatum to get Trae Young like 3 weeks ago. But because they saw him in a national TV game against LeBron where they lost the game, he was magnificent. So, okay, he has two amazing games in the last, week, and that's fresh in everyone's mind. And now they're starting to say that, he's an MVP candidate, and you didn't even put Damian Lillard on your list. Damian Lillard is legitimately...
I did put him on my list. Yes.
Okay, that's my
it's
fault.
Okay.
My fault.
It's okay.
Apologies. But Trae Young is essentially the same player. Why is he not viewed as the same player?
Trae Young, because Trae Young doesn't win ball games in the Eastern Conference.
Where's the Blazers at?
The Blazers are right outside.
Massively underachieving.
They are underachieving, but he put them on his back, and guess what? Those points, the big games started translating to wins, and he's in the West. So, if he was doing that in the East, he'd be doing better.
So you're knocking Trae Young's teammates for being a load of heaping trash.
He has John Collins. Is he a load of heaping trash?
That's one teammate. His team is poorly constructed, a horrible roster of talent, and you know that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're a good team, but a superstar is supposed to make all the difference in the world.
You're literally saying the only reason that Trae Young's not better than Jason Tatum is because the team's not as good. That's the only thing you're throwing out
there
so far.
I'm saying that's part of the... How is that not important, though?
Because
when it's I said he's a wing player. That's important, too. That's what everybody
says.
So they
play different positions and his team sucks.
His size is what I'm saying. Do you mean to be that, like, that specifically for you?
No, but I'm asking what you think that Jason Tatum is better at.
I think that having a size advantage is important because that's what we hear about all the time here. Is everybody here says, oh, the Celtics can't do anything because the Sixers, that's what they're saying at the beginning of the year, Sixers have size advantage, the Bucks have a size advantage, the Lakers have a size advantage. Everybody has a size advantage. So when it comes to Trae Young versus Jason Tatum, you're damn right I'm going to cite the size advantage.
So would Jason Tatum average 30 and 10 on a crappy Hawks team?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, maybe not 10 because that's just not his game. But he'd average 10 rebounds.
Why would he average 10 rebounds in that team?
Because we've seen guys where they can take. Why did Russell Westbrook average like a triple double with the friggin' Rockets?
He has the highest motor in the league.
He has the highest motor in the league because guys got the hell out of his friggin' way.
Right, but that's asking
when you're the
a lot,
star, you're gonna get what you want. And Tatum would be the star.
Tatum is not an elite rebounder. He would not do that.
Okay, now you're gonna make me pull up friggin' Tatum stats. But anyways, so I would not have Trae Young ahead of him.
But you would have Damian Lillard.
Yeah, because Damian Lillard also got to the Western Conference Finals.
Another team achievement.
But he's the best player on that team. That is important.
That team sucks this year.
I understand that they suck this year, but it's
why does that not matter now? If Trae Young's team was magically better this year,
Paul George has also underperformed this year, and I will admit that. Everybody knows. Anybody that's listened to the show long enough knows I'm a Paul George guy.
Right.
I actually had a tough time putting him ahead of Tatum on this list.
Oh, come on.
Because he's underperformed this year. But I did because I know his body of work. I get worried about his health a little bit, too, here and there.
Of course.
But, I have to account for the history with some of these guys, and Tatum has playoff experience, too. Trae Young, again, I know it's his second year, but he's not getting there this year. So he's a good player. I have him just outside my top 20.
Yeah, we've agreed on there are 12 definitively better players than Jason Tatum.
I actually have 13.
You have 13.
I put Clay ahead of him.
You have Clay.
Yeah, because Clay's defense. And then Siakam's right there.
So the 14th would be Trae for me.
I think comfortably, Tatum is a top 15 player in the NBA right now. That's my opinion. Comfortably.
At slot 14 or 15.
At slot 14 or 15. Yeah.
Yep. I would put Trae Young ahead of him.
I still have Simmons ahead of him. I still have Kyrie ahead of him. I have Kemba ahead of him. I'm talking about Trae Young. And then I have Westbrook ahead of him still, too. Because I know Russ gets a lot of shit, but I'm sorry, A, I enjoy watching him play, and B, that dude, what he did in OKC, I know he had Paul George for a while, but that man got after it, and I love his motor, and he is a total dink. But I also love that about him, too. We don't have enough of those guys in the league. Giannis is a bit of a dink, too, and I like that.
He's shooting 24% from three.
Who is?
Russell Westbrook.
Well, no shit, he's not a good three-point shooter. I never said he was.
So he's an inefficient offensive player.
He's a winner.
On a team who probably won't win much this year.
He's a winner.
We all shit on the Rockets every week.
Yep.
And so, that doesn't matter.
It's not his fault.
That
it's
doesn't
not his
matter.
Fault.
But Portland and their winning doesn't matter. But Trae Young, because he doesn't, I don't think he's better than Tatum. The number one thing of why I would take Tatum over him is because the team is better.
Do not make
that,
this.
That
do
seems
not,
to be your entire the, argument the, is a team achievement.
The Lillard versus Russell Westbrook thing is definitely different.
I am defending Trae Young here.
Mm-hmm.
I said he's the most overrated player in the league at the start of the season.
You did.
Right here on 5 Out, I said Trae Young was overrated. And
you saw him in person one time, and then it was like, oh my God, I was so wrong about him.
I flipped completely 180, and now I'm here defending Trae Young somehow. I think if you have Lillard ahead of Tatum, then you must also put Trae Young and Bradley Beal.
No way. And Bradley Beal?
Yes.
That's another guy who's...
Because you have Russell Westbrook ahead of all three of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Beal is also right. I have Beal and Trae Young right on the outside.
There's no logical
reason.
But
see, I mean, if you want to, you really want to go and argue about Trae Young versus Russ, I'm fine with that. You can put him ahead of him. The thing is, Russ has won in the Western Conference. Like, he's had success. Not obviously, he hasn't won a title, but he's had a lot of success, and he did it a little bit on his own. He did it a little bit with Paul George, and obviously, he did it with KD too. And I get that's huge having them, but the West has been stacked over the years, and he's still every year he's in the mix. So how do you not respect that? I get it; he's not as efficient, but he still finds ways to win, and he has guys around him. I get it, but like,
I fear Trae Young and Damian Lillard and Brad Beal so much more than I ever have for Jason Tatum. This last week, if you bottle it up and turn it into the next 3 or 4 years, yes, Tatum it will be better than those guys because of his body and his inability to block those step-back, sidestep shots he makes, which are just so incredible. It's such a tough shot, and he's so good at it. Just taking that one dribble and sidestepping and creating that space.
Mm-hmm.
It's super hard to block. If you take the next 3 years and it is encapsulated from the last week of Jason Tatum, then yes. But I think it's impossible to argue that Russell Westbrook is better than Jason Tatum at this point.
So, real quick, on the Tatum stuff.
I'm sorry. I think, hold on. You have Russell in your top 15, correct?
No, I do not.
You do not.
I have him in my top 20.
Ahead of Tatum, no?
No, not ahead of Tatum.
Okay.
No,
I don't know why I kept saying
that.
Let
me rattle it off for you again. Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, AD, Jokic, Luka, Embiid, Harden, KD. Now, look, KD's at 9, but that's not... I just have him in there. At that point, it's a little different just because he's been out all year. Steph, again, same thing. Damian Lillard, Paul George, and then again, Klay is the same thing as Steph and KD because they've all been out all year long. Those are just guys that are ahead of Tatum.
Right.
But that's my list. That's 13 guys. Then it's Siakam and Tatum at 14, 15. Butler's probably my number 16. And even then, I can understand someone making a case there because Butler, what they've done, they're not doing what they're doing in Miami without Butler. He's been as impressive as hell. But going back to Tatum, again, you say two games. He had the 39 points against the Clippers, right? He came back, scored 20 on Minnesota, whatever. 41 against the Lakers, 36 against a Lillardless Blazers. But he also scored, 33 against the Magic, 32 against the Hawks, which if you ask Joel Embiid, that's a big deal. Let's see. 25 against the Sixers, 26 against OKC in that nail-biter. So, I mean, like, I know he didn't do well against the Rockets, but, I mean, the dude has been outstanding.
But we were bitching about him being a horrible-ass finisher at the beginning of the season.
And better.
And he's improved.
Yes.
He's obviously improved about it. But it's so quick how we forget that guy was not who he was at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not... This could very easily be a flash in the pan for Jason Tatum.
See, and this is why I recommend that you read my stuff more, and everybody else reads my stuff more.
Because what are you talking about? I read it and print it out every day for OMF.
Oh, you do? Oh, you do when it gives them an opportunity to shit on me, which I promise that I will get to. For those who don't know about it, we'll fill you guys all in on it. But at the beginning of the year, it was absolutely a problem. But he has gotten better progressively over the course of the season. That's why I'm buying into him.
Yes.
As opposed to maybe Gordon Hayward, where I have a little bit of a tougher time buying in because of the ups and downs, the hot and colds. But we'll get to that. Real quick, Tatum right now is averaging 6.9 rebounds a game. He averaged 6 last year. I don't think it's far-fetched to think if he was on a worse team, maybe shooting for a worse field goal percentage
and everything. I don't think the quality of your team affects your numbers for rebounding.
I think when you miss a lot more shots, there are more opportunities.
Do you think that Atlanta's missing a lot more shots? Or
I mean, I don't care that much to make that argument.
But I would think that their defense is horrible, and so they're giving up less rebounds. They're getting less. Like, if you have a shitty defense, you're not getting as many rebounds.
That's true.
So that's my theory. Anyways, the point is, to sum up the whole segment, I have Jason Tatum at number 16 on my list.
16, okay. I think he has to be right around 15. I honestly think if you go to 17,
I have Siakam right behind him.
Really?
Yeah.
So who am I? Oh, so you have Trey ahead of him, and you have Jimmy ahead of him?
We have the 10, no problem. 11, Klay, 12, Butler, 13, Lillard, 14, Trey Young, and 15, Brad Beal.
Oh, yeah.
That 11 through 15 is kind of in any order, but those are all guys I would take.
I can't do
Beal. Because if you're going to take Lillard, you have to also take Trey Young and Brad Beal. Those are like three very similar players on crap teams who can just fill up the stat sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to take all of those guys, it has to be the whole group. And then I would take them over Tatum. So Tatum at number 16, and we get him at where? 13, correct?
Tatum? No, I have him like 14, 15.
Okay, 14, 15.
14, 15, yep.
So he's not a top 10 player according to two of us on OMF. What do you think Matt has him at?
Matt? I don't know. We should probably call him and ask him. I don't think he's going to have him at, what is it? I don't think he'll have him in the top 10 either. I know I sent you my list. Do you have him in your top 10? Or do you have him top 15? Where do you have Tatum?
See, I don't think Jason Tatum's a top 10 player in the league. Yeah. I think Celtics fans, I think Ty said it pretty good. They kind of live in the moment too much of, like, they react. It's just that initial reaction of him. Like, is he playing really good right now? Yes. He's playing really, really well. But to say he's a top 10 player now, we haven't seen it over, a course of a whole year or, like a long stretch. So let's hold the horses on the top 10. But I am excited by the way he's playing.
Okay, do you have him? Do you think top 15 is fair?
I think I could see him in the top 15. He has to me. I think he's in the top 15 because if I think of the All-Star game, I would definitely take him over some guys. So I think 15 is fair.
Okay, so now you missed a little bit of what Ty and I were talking about with Damian Lillard, Trae Young. Ty actually has Trae Young ahead of Tatum right now.
I personally would take Tatum over, and I think he's better than Trae Young, but, I mean, the way Trae Young's playing, I guess, you know, that'd be a, I guess you could, I could see the argument. I just,
he's not winning, Matt. He's not winning.
Well, hold on. That was going to be my point. Ah. He's doing all this. He was doing all this in a losing effort. So that's why, like, I can see if you want to throw stats against the wall and tell me he's scoring this and scoring that, but is it resulting in winning? But then, you know, devil's advocate, well, he doesn't have a good team. Well, I, to me personally, it's like the Brad, like I tell you about Devin Booker not being, well, he wasn't originally an all-star, and Bradley Beal, like, if you're putting up 50 in losses, I don't, honestly, I really don't care. Like, it doesn't, that doesn't make me, like, excited. If Tatum was doing all this stuff and losing efforts, I wouldn't care.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I would just argue that I don't think that Tatum could ever put up 30 and 10 on this Hawks team by himself. And my argument was I fear, so much more fear, Damian Lillard, Trae Young, and Brad Beal going into a game than I would Jason Tatum. Now, if Tatum bottles up what he's done for the last 2 weeks and becomes this guy for the rest of this season and next year, then absolutely I would fear a scoring big, like a, not a big, but a small forward, a guy, a bigger guy like Tatum than a smaller point guard like, you know, Trae Young.
I would say I don't fear Trae Young. I fear Damian Lillard, that's for sure, because I've seen him do it in big moments and big games.
Thank you.
Beal, I think that, again, I like Beal, but, like, from what I've seen this year, it's like, you know, he's putting up 50 and they lose. Like, I think I respect that he's pissed off when he's losing. Like, he's not happy losing that, so I respect that. He's not like just some guy happy that he's getting buckets. But I would say I'd fear Bradley Beal. But Tatum, I don't know. If you watched him play in that Lakers game, that dude was going at everyone.
Everyone.
LeBron, AD, the whole damn team. And that shit was fun to watch. So, I don't know. I think Tatum's on that level where you're starting to fear him. And I don't, like, when you say he can't put up 30 and 10 on the Hawks team, yeah, he can. Like, the dude doesn't need anybody. He's scoring one-on-one. He doesn't need anybody to score.
Exactly. And then now the Lakers are respecting him so much. They have all this, that, like, we saw, what was it, in the Pelicans game.
They were throwing doubles.
Exactly.
They were throwing doubles.
Exactly. The whole game on TNT the other night, Pelicans-Lakers, I watched the replay of it afterwards. Obviously, the Celtics were playing. And they're talking about the Lakers defense. They had to double him the whole fourth quarter. LeBron right. said it. We all saw it. I mean, KCP was, I mean, he puts up a good fight and everything, but they needed that extra guy. So, like, that's what I mean.
But what Tatum's doing in the last 2 weeks is what Lillard, Beal, and Trae Young do nightly, except the only difference is their teams suck and Boston Celtics are good. That's really the only difference in terms of their overall play to make it on a general basis there.
I don't know. I have a hard time. I just think I would take Tatum over Trae Young. I don't think that's even close. Right now, I think I would probably take Tatum over Beal if we're just talking about, like, you know, Tatum's 21 years old.
That's the other thing.
But, yeah, I mean, that is crazy. The dude's 21 and he's doing it. So that's crazy. I'm a Damian Lillard guy, so I think right now I'd still take Lillard over Tatum. But in the long run, like, Tatum is starting to become – a super, like, he's going into that direction of being a superstar. Like, if this is how we can play on a consistent basis, I mean, yo, like, he's special. Like, he really is special.
You were talking about the Lakers game, Matt, and I know when I wrote off of it, I had some things to say about Hayward, and I know you were chiming in on Twitter beforehand. Was that what you wanted?
I was pissed. Yeah. I was pissed.
When he shoots 5 for 15 against the Lakers after he lights up the Timberwolves, I can understand why you'd be upset.
I mean, this is his MO. He literally lights up bad teams, Hawks, all these teams. He lights them up before. Oh, and I just had a thought I had to say before we keep going. Embiid scoring whatever he did against the Hawks and people making a big deal out of that. Please, spare me.
He's the best player in the league, Matt. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Now all of a sudden he's nasty.
Get out. Right. Yeah.
What do you do against Giannis when they got 20-piece McNuggets? Nothing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I just had thought of that. But anyway, it's like Gordon Hayward's thing. It's like he plays really well and he shows spurts, but then it's like everything's relative. He's doing it against, you know, really poor teams. And then when we need him, like, against really good competition, he's a nobody. The worst play of the game, I don't know, you probably remember this, it was 50 seconds left in the game and he got the rebound and he went the length of the court and bombed the layup.
Yep.
First off, if you're going to go like that at that point in the game when you're winning, time and score, slow it up, get it to Tatum or like slow it up, take your time, you're up. And if you're going to go all the way to the rim, finish the goddamn layup.
I don't know what's wrong with this guy, man.
Oh, my God. He's such a mental midget. I think the best-case scenario is after this year, he opts out and he goes somewhere else. I really do. I'm at that point where We just don't need him. We honestly don't need him after the season's over.
I mean, I felt like you were as high as him as anybody at the beginning of the year.
You know what? I'm telling you, it's the proof's in the pudding. Every time they play a high-level comment, he's a nobody. I don't see him. I don't know where the hell he is.
This is how Danny Ainge would respond to Matt Majerus.
Danny, I want to ask you about another guy, Gordon Hayward. You know, he had that great stretch of play, you know, struggled from the field the other day. Does it frustrate you the criticism Gordon gets and how unfair that is?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because I don't think people are paying attention that Gordon is the most unselfish of all our five main players.
He gives
the ball up the most. We're trying to get him to even be a little bit more aggressive because he's our most efficient offensive player.
Don't hang up, Matt, please.
He says you're not paying attention.
I mean, but Danny's got his back. Whatever. That's what a good GM does. You don't throw the guy under the bus. But I think the proof's in the pudding. When you're playing the elite teams, I don't even know he's out there.
I think that
because he's so unselfish.
I think
that Gordon is the most unselfish of all our five main players.
I think he is unselfish. Don't get me wrong.
Sometimes it's like fault, though.
I know, and I like his skill set. But, like, you know, because he can pass the ball and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, I just against the elite teams, he's a nope. I don't know if he's even out there. I really don't. Like that Lakers game, to me, it was Tatum, obviously. And I think Brown played well from stretches.
I mean, he scored 10 points in the fourth quarter when they're doubling up Tatum. That's what you need.
Yeah, he was like, it was in stretches. There was some bad Jalen, there was some good. But like, at least I noticed he was out there. Tice played really well.
Mm-hmm. But Hayward had some bad passes, too. That was the other thing that stood out to me.
Oh, my God. The cross-court pass.
Oh,
I've seen high school kids do that I want to, like, bash in the head. Never mind him. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? It's almost like he was scared. That's why he threw the ball. And the other thing is, like, defensively, I know it's LeBron James. Don't get me wrong. But could you at least put up a fight? I mean, when he plays post defense on him, it looked like an infant was guarding LeBron.
I thought
he's a good defender. And I get it. It's LeBron. I get it. He's a bull.
Yes.
But, I mean, at least foul, put up a fight. I don't know.
I think
it looks like you're a 5-year-old.
When it comes to Hayward, my thing is the Lakers game here, you know that he scored like the Celtics first like 6 or 8 points when they got punched in the mouth to start the game. So he's had some moments. Like, this is why it's, I understand if you wanted to get rid of him, want to see him leave at the end of the year. But I was never trade Hayward at the deadline. I did not think that would have been smart. At the same time, I'm not going to say, and this is what I wrote in the story, you don't say that he's back because he's too hot and cold. He's some good games.
Amen.
Exactly. He has the good games against the bad teams should infuriate everybody. I agree with that 1,000% because he does that consistently. But then he has these other games where it's like, you don't know what you're getting. You have no, like with Jaylen Brown, you have a pretty good idea.
I would
idea.
Agree with that.
So it's
yeah, deep. I would agree with that. That's a good take. I mean, that I'm with you. I didn't want to trade Gordon at the trade deadline either. And I'm not like, again, could he change throughout? The season's not over. They haven't even started the playoffs. I mean, I think this is really a really big stretch when they start playing better teams like the Rockets on Saturday. I'll be there, Gordon. You better do something. You let James Harden score 50. I am running on the court and fighting somebody. But
I'm holding you to that.
Yeah. But like, at the end of the day, I think if he does not do well in the playoffs, if he does this like inconsistent thing the whole rest of the year, I think you got to hope that he does opt out, because what does he bring to the table, really? You got Tatum, who's a rising superstar, I think. Jaylen Brown, who's going to be an all-star.
Got the right frame of mind, too.
Yeah, and like I just think, you know, maybe let him go and then you can bring another piece in, or, you know, I don't know, something, develop something. I just think at this point, like, Gordon Hayward is almost, I don't know if shelve himself is a hard, like, take. But like you said, you can never say he's back because he just reverts to the same crap you've seen, you know, 2 months ago. And it's hard to watch.
I don't think people are paying attention.
Yeah, Matt, you got to pay attention more. What are you doing?
Yeah, I paid attention. I watched him in that Lakers game pretty hard.
That Gordon is the most unselfish of all our five main players.
I don't want to get ahead of the loose stuff, but this is not the same thing as Al Horford. I honestly don't believe that. Like, Al Horford, more or less, you got the same thing every night when he was here. Sometimes that was infuriating because you needed a little bit more out of him when you needed him to shoot more.
There are nights that he just plays like an average player.
You're talking about Al?
Yes.
Okay, but the thing is...
That's
like you said, that's what he did.
Exactly.
Like, and he was
He was a jack of all trades.
Like he wasn't. People wanted him to be like this, you know, 2010 guy. That's not who he is.
Not on that team. Yeah.
And I grew to like what he did as a basketball player. I've always said this. I would have loved to play with Al Horford because he's unselfish. He does all the little things. He plays defense. But like you said, in that team, they and they wanted him to score more, like the fans, and that's just not who he was. But Gordon Hayward, we don't have him to do that.
Right.
Gordon Hayward, you need to be able to score when they're doubling Tatum. Like, come on, bro.
The only thing that at the end of the one thing that really holds me back on all of it too is if he's going to stay here for another year, he could look better next year too. It's hard to tell because the rise
it's
of
so
Tatum.
Unselfish, yeah.
Exactly. The unselfishness is an issue at times. The rise of Tatum, the rise of Brown, both of them are better than we thought they were going to be this year. And he's probably going to feel better with his foot, I would think, next year. Clearly way better than last year.
So isn't he a great number three? A really, really good number three?
I think...
Here's my question. Now, I know Danny said he's unselfish. Do you think his ego gets... I think Gordon Hayward's kind of a prima donna. That's what I kind of think. Like, he says all the right things, but I'm asking you, because I have some inside sources... That said, believe me, I can't give you my inside source. This is like player stuff. That he, when he was with Utah, he was kind of a prima donna.
Okay,
so, I'm just asking, is he okay at the end of the day? Because he's like you just said. I mean, Ty, you said third option. How about fourth? Yeah, Kemba.
He's the fourth option on this team.
He's a great number four, but I don't know what you want to pay $35 million to your number four guy.
That's the other thing. You're paying him $35 million to be the fourth option. No, that's crazy. But I'm also saying, like, you know, I don't know if he's even regardless of the money. Do you think he's comfortable with being? I don't know. Like,
I don't think it's crazy.
People say the right things.
I'm not stunned by you saying that. I'll leave it like that. I'm not stunned by that.
I mean.
Revelation or bit of news.
Well,
or
I can tell you that he's not opting out.
There's no way.
Stupid financially,
right?
Too.
He would have to be so damn miserable to try and get out of here. And it seems like him and Danny have too good of a relationship. He's playing
and
with
Brad too.
Yeah, especially Brad. I mean, it's his college coach. But Danny talks about very glowingly about keeping him around and how unselfish he is. And it just seems like his fit here is too good. Unless Danny really wants to ship him out of here, he's not opting out personally. He's not choosing to leave. Danny will make him leave before he chooses to leave.
The only reason I could see him possibly leaving, because he's getting, what, is it 32 next year if he opts back in, something along those lines?
Yeah, he's a four-year guy.
So if he gets that, I understand, obviously, he's not going to get more money than that for an individual year over in the market. But if he thinks that he can get somewhere in the 20 range over the next, like, for a four-year deal or something like that, I could see him saying, all right, you know what, I'm going to lose on this year, but overall, I'm going to have a little bit more security. It's the only reason I could see him opting out. And at that point, I don't know if you're the Celtics, I don't know if you want to bring him back at that point, just with everything that we've seen. But at the crux of it all, Matt, you saw the headline the next day, my headline at least, was this game showed why the Celtics are contenders this year. Do you think they are?
I've already told you, I think that if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think they should be in the finals. But if they don't, if they take the Bucks, say the Bucks, I think the Bucks will be there.
Right, them Bucks the Bucks are the favorites.
If they don't go 6-7 games, I think it's a failure of a season. I do. I truly believe that.
Yeah, six games, so, that's
so
fair.
So they don't get to your question,
fair.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're contenders. I think it'll be a failure, anything less of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and actually being competitive with the Bucks.
Yep.
Because I know the Bucks are good, but I honestly think the Bucks, I don't know, there's something about them. I don't love them. I don't know. I feel like they're beatable.
Is it maybe the Brooke Lopez? Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's something about that Lopez guy.
Did you watch the Raptors Bucks game at all?
I saw a couple of highlights from it.
Okay. So you missed what I'm going to tell you. Stan Van Gundy, he was freaking gushing over Brooke Lopez. And he's saying he's the best rim protector in the league, talking about his offense and all this. He said, I'm telling you, cannot make it up.
Oh, man. Hey, he was great on that Team USA team. Really protected the rim.
Yeah,
no kidding, because they couldn't, because he sucks.
I think Stan Van Gundy should stick to his acting career. I think he had a lot more success with that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, stick to those damn Levitard radio hits.
Oh, I was talking about his adult film work.
Oh, no.
Stan Van Jeremy. Oh. But anyways, anything else, Matt, before we let you go? Is there anything else you wanted to hit on?
No, that's it. Hey, are you going to be at the game Saturday? I'll see you then.
Yes,
Rockets?
You'll see me then. All right. Rockets.
You'll see me with a beard on. I'll have the James Harden beard on. I'll be rooting for him.
Oh,
I
believe that 1,000%. Let me ask you one thing, though, before you go, because Ty and I are about to get into this. If you're talking about the top five guys, was it 21 and under, Ty?
Yes.
So Tatum still fits under that. Top five guys, 21 and under. Do you know where you would put Tatum on that short list? I'm assuming he'd be on your list for sure. Right.
Yeah, obviously.
While you think about that, I'll throw five guys at you that just in general order that lands on everyone's list.
Hold
here.
On. Can I guess like three of them? Like Luka's obviously one, right?
Yeah, of course.
Luka, Ja Morant, no?
Yep. Yeah. Whoever you want.
Zion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing who's on ties that he said he was going to throw five at me.
Those three,
who else? Who are the two others?
Trey.
Oh, I forgot he's – and who's the other one?
I don't know. Who's the other one that you had, Ty?
I just lost the list.
Oh, okay. But, I mean,
that's right.
I think Ty would have him on his five. Ty, you have him
on
your five.
I would say Tatum is a better – Tatum right now is better than – I think he's better than Trae Young. I think he's better than Ja Morant. I mean, I still think Ja Morant's an absolute stud. I think him and Zion are different players. Like, I don't know. Like Zion's a different player than Tatum. They're all – like, that's the problem is, like, now we're just talking about different styles of play. Like, Ja Morant –
It's a question of if you're investing in one of these guys right now.
Yes. Tatum on that list? I think Tatum right now, to me personally, is number two
behind Luka.
Yeah, because I love Luka.
We're in agreement on that, and I could see Zion passing both of them, but I'm not putting him there because he's been good, but it's been a short burst. We don't know what's going to happen with his leg and everything. There's a legitimate concern, and we both love Ja, but I mean you can't put him ahead.
I love Ja. No, you can't. I love Jack.
They may be in trouble, by the way. No Clark, no Jackson.
Are they seriously hurt?
They're both out for like 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, that's not good. In a playoff push, because I don't know. The Blazers are kind of fumbling too without Lillard. So.
Pelicans, though, Matt. That's the team.
Yeah, they score the crap out of the ball.
Yeah, they look so much different with Zion out there. It's unbelievable. I mean, how he's. They're what now? They lost to the Lakers the other night, so they're 8-6 since Zion got healthy. So I mean, he's a machine.
Much better.
Yeah. But anyways, all right, dude. Have fun on on Sunday. We'll check in with you later.
All right, boys.
Okay, so you have, where do you have Tatum on that list?
Three.
You have him at three.
Yeah.
Behind
Luka and Trey.
Luka and Trey. All right. Well, we already had that whole argument before. Now who has you? You got this whole idea from what was it? Jalen Rose?
Jalen Rose and Jay Williams.
So where did they – did we have sound of them talking about it at all?
Yeah, give me 1 second. Basically, they both had Tatum above Zion, which is surprising to me. Let's go first here with Jay Williams.
So are you going Doncic and then Tatum and then Zion, or is Zion ahead of Tatum for you?
I will go Jason Tatum second. I've said it before. I said it on the show. I thought Jason Tatum was a top five player in the East. And people like across the media were like, oh, what are you talking about? I'm like, okay, now you're watching it. Now you see it. I still think Trae Young can go up. I still think Ja Morant can go up, but I still have Zion as at third.
Now, I wonder who is top five. I don't remember him saying that. Top five Tatum in the East for a player.
That kind of rings a bell, actually. I don't remember who we had ahead of him, though. But, I mean, you have Giannis ahead of him.
Yes.
You have Embiid ahead of him. You have, I mean, he probably had Kyrie ahead of him. I don't know if he had KD on technicality or not.
What if he had Kemba?
Maybe I don't know if he had Kemba ahead of him. Maybe he had Ben Simmons ahead of him.
Also, Jay Williams' co-host on Get Up is Jalen Rose, saying basically the same thing.
Luka's not going to give me the 30-plus points, but he's going to give me the 10-plus assists.
Thank you.
He's the guy on that list, along with Tatum, who I would take number two, that have actually been all-stars.
Tatum ahead of Zion?
I would.
Wow.
I would because, like, they have defined positions. And Zion is going to be a terrific player, and he's going to stuff the stat sheet. But right now, they're still trying to figure, are you going to play his quality minutes at the four? If you watch the team play, they're really playing him at the five a lot of times. So Zion will be third amongst the 21 and under.
So I thought you had Zion and Ja ahead of Tatum originally.
After further deliberation inside my brain, I said no.
You're a smart man. Yeah, I like Ja a lot, and he's a fun player, and he's going to be an elite player in this league, I think. And obviously Zion is, too, as long as he stays healthy. But A, health is not a concern with Tatum. B, he's a wing player.
He's played a dozen games, Zion.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's too premature. He may end up being the best of all of them. I don't think there's any chance he's better than Luka. But I think he could end up being better than Tatum and Ja and Trey. It could be a possibility. He is super efficient. He's almost impossible to guard.
Mm-hmm.
Elite rebounder.
Yeah.
Incredible athleticism. If everything goes right for him, it could be this is going to be one of the most fun guys to watch in the league.
Dude,
but that's the biggest key is are those knees not going to explode? Because Bill Simmons was saying that he's above 300 pounds.
Was he? Really?
Yeah, he's reporting that his source, and I don't know, his source in New Orleans, I guess. His source in New Orleans tells him that Zion's above 300.
Well, 2020 is the year for the overweight athletes because we saw in the heavyweight boxing match that guy who was, that guy was a monster who won it. Tyson Fury, yeah, he was, that guy was gigantic and not, I wouldn't say in a good way, but I mean, I have no problem with that. I don't want to get my ass beat. But I got to watch the Pelicans-Lakers game. Like I said, I watched it a little bit before we were recording this, before I came into the station. Holy shit, that kid is so much fun to watch, though. And LeBron, see, and this is where I get confused with LeBron sometimes. It's like he goes and drops 40 in that game, and I know the Pelicans are not a bad team when Zion's out there, but it's like, is he trying to make a point of like, yeah, it's not Zion. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's still my game. You're a young man entering the game, but I'm still the king.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
and I see,
of course.
I saw pictures, like people, like Bleacher Report was gushing over LeBron in that game. It's the way people try and like trip over themselves to make LeBron look like he is still the face of the league. I get he is, but they really try and go out of their way to, if you have to do it, like try that hard to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not the face of the league anymore.
He got passed last year by Kawhi.
As the face of the league?
Last year in NBA basketball, Kawhi was the face of the league.
Okay, but there's a difference between being the best player in the league and being the face of the league. You think, like, when people think the NBA, who do they think of right now? That's my point.
Because,
like, I hate, so, like, for an example, in baseball, I hated Jeter for the longest time, but when Ken Griffey, I'm so sorry, Griffey, that was terrible. That is awful. I'm a terrible person.
Slander.
That's awful. But when Griffey retired, it's like Derek Jeter was the face of the league. I don't like admitting that, but it was true. That's who everybody thought of first when you thought of baseball. Do you not think of LeBron James? I mean, like, when you think of football, who do you think of?
Tom
Brady.
It's probably LeBron until he retires.
It's got to be.
The face, like you said, does not equal the best player.
Right, exactly. And it was Kawhi, and now Giannis has taken over that mantle pretty comfortably, I would say. Speaking of that, though, the Bucks are already in the playoffs. They clinched on the freaking 23rd of February. Watched some of the Raptors game. That was before the Celtics game and before the Pelicans-Lakers. I will say, when we talk, everybody talks about the Celtics and how they don't like how the Celtics have so many wing players and they've gotten frustrated with that, and you don't have that elite big rim protector who just hangs around down low, and Tice is like, well, what does Tice do? If you watch what the Raptors tried to do to the Bucks early in that game, and it's tough for them because they're relying on Van Vliet, they're relying on Lowry, who, yeah, they're tough little bastards and everything like that, but I mean, they're not smart. They're not Marcus Smart, like, out there. It's tough to have both of them, I personally think, trying to switch along the perimeter, whereas the Celtics have four other guys, because Tice is able to do it, who can all kind of fight along the outside, and then you have Smart as well, and then the outlier is Kemba, who, you know, like Lowry, is pretty good at taking charges and everything like that. He makes up for it. But if you watch how they're defending the Bucks early on in that game, that's what the Celtics are trying to do. And it is friggin' tough to do it against that team.
You got to have tall, athletic guys that can all switch. And
exactly.
That's how you can have an elite defense.
Exactly.
That's why the Warriors were always the number one offense with Klay and Steph and KD joined them. But, like, people forget about it. They were, like, the number one efficient defense, too, during that dynasty run. Like, they were one of the best, if not always the best team defensively in the entire league. So you got to play both, and the Rockets will never do that. So that's why James Harden never won a title.
He's an elite. What is it? Elite the post defender, right? Those are the stats.
Elite
that you found?
Post defender, yes. That's, according to Bobby Marks.
Yeah, that's an absolute joke. Speaking of jokes, Joel Embiid. Matt did touch on that. He scores 49 on the Hawks. Okay. I mean, yes, 49 in an NBA game is impressive no matter who you play, but let's not act like this is...
Yeah.
You didn't do it against the Lakers. You're not scoring 41 on the Lakers like Tatum did. That is not at all the same thing. It's not something you brag about at all. And then he goes and gets fined $25,000 for throwing the bird at Herder, which, I mean, you do that on national TV. You kind of have to find him for something, right?
Yeah, it's too many live camera shots around the arena.
And we couldn't find the audio. But
yeah, that was weird.
Glenn was the one that told him this, that he's shooting, that he said he was the best player in the league right now?
Yeah, so I did find some audio. It wasn't the original comment, but he was asked about it a couple days ago. So here's a recent comment from Joel Embiid.
Best player in the world, right?
I'm in.
I think, yeah, I believe I am. But when I made that statement, I didn't actually say that I was.
Yes, you did.
I said that, you know, being with, you know.
He word for word said, I'm out here playing in the All-Star game, and the quote was, the best player in the world. Right? Hey, wasn't that the quote?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Some of the best players in the world, and I proved myself. That's what I said. But, yeah, my bad. I do believe it. You know, when I play like tonight, you know, anything can happen. And I also want to say sorry for what I did at the end of the game. Y'all probably saw that on TV. I'm sorry.
He's so great.
I see. This is the Joel Embiid I like.
He's hilarious, man. Yeah. I would love him in Boston.
He just needs. Well, I don't know how he'd handle it here because people will get pissed at him. Because he. This is the thing. Joel Embiid should be in my top five, no questions asked. But I can't put him in my top five because as much as he can be a dominant force on any given night, there are other nights where it's like, I get why Chuck and Shaq throw so much shade your way. It's totally warranted. You play so soft.
Yeah, he does. So he chooses possessions to play on.
Exactly. You can't do that. If you're going to be one of the top five guys in the league, you can't do that.
I said that, you know, being with, you know, some of the best players in the world and I proved myself. That's what I said. But, yeah. That's what I said. But, yeah.
Speaking of guys who've been in the top five in the league, Steph's coming back on Sunday. I was surprised by this.
That's a mistake. I don't know why. There's nothing to gain.
You want to play. You know, you'd be itching to get back in.
Yeah. I wonder if the franchise is forcing, I wouldn't say forcing him, but like, hey, you know, we kind of just opened up a brand new arena right downtown. I don't know if you heard, it's worth $1 billion.
It's kind of important.
There are people who need these season tickets to be worth something, mm-hmm. and they're not coming to the game to watch Jordan Poole.
No.
Please come back ASAP.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's the franchise guy, but he seems like he just loves the game and wants to play.
Do you think I'm looking at it like this. If anything, it's going to hurt him than more than help him. I guess, you know, you don't want to sit out the entire year if you don't have to, unless you're Kyrie. Like KD, I get it's a very different situation. But what do you expect for him first? Because like to start, I don't know how. I mean, he looks good warming up and everything. Do you expect him to drop 30 first game?
I don't expect him to miss a beat. He should be coming out and putting up 30 and 10 every night. His team stinks. He should be the Atlanta Hawks West. Should be the Trae Young stat line. 30 and 10, probably not winning many games. His team probably is better than Atlanta if you add him into it.
See, and that's where I mean that you like this can only hurt him. Is if they don't go and do decent, you know, when he gets back, then it's going to be like, oh, he needs Clay. And I don't want to hear that about Steph.
We all know the NBA. You can't have one guy carry a team.
No, we know that. But this is true. But you also don't turn it into the friggin' Hawks. Yep. That's a different story. But last thing before we get to your friggin' LeBron bullshit. This RJ Barrett stuff is the weirdest shit I think that we saw in the course of the week. And it is just peak Knicks. And I know that sometimes our listeners get tired of us shitting on Knicks, but I absolutely love it because I love seeing New York sports in total friggin' disarray. So this has come from Laura Albanese of of Newsday. And she tweeted out, RJ Barrett just informed us he's actually a righty and has better shooting form with his right. Just more comfortable shooting with his left. Huh.
It makes sense.
Shortly after, though, she followed up by saying, just got a clarification. Barrett has been told as in caps, he has better shooting form as a righty. He doesn't necessarily believe that to be the case. I mean, if this doesn't scream Ben Simmons 2.0, I don't know what does. This is bad, man. I mean, I thought this is a guy I honestly thought coming into the year, he's with the Knicks. They're going to suck. Zion's not going to be in the entire year. He's my rookie of the year candidate for sure. There's no way he's in New York. Everybody's going to want to give it to him. He just has to be a little bit better than Ja and or even just as good as Ja, and he will get it.
Yeah.
I feel for him. I want him to do well and everything. But
now, I wonder if it's one of those things where, like, you know, NBA players would be like, oh, you know, I'm real nice with that left hand. That left hand's real nice. Now, I'm almost better with my left hand than my right. Is it one of those situations where guys just kind of, like, are selling themselves? Like,
I'm real nice. I probably should flip to my left hand. I'm better with that one.
You think?
Is it that? I'm trying to defend him here. This is the Knicks. Probably don't deserve to be defended.
No, no.
But is that the case here?
No.
There's no way he's actually better as a righty than a lefty.
God, I hope not. I don't think that's what. But I don't think that's what he said, though.
You can't flip that in your
brain.
But
isn't that the whole thing? The whole thing with Simmons is that he said I'm like supposed to be a righty, but my dad was.
Well, he sucks both ways with both hands.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how. I don't know how you don't make the switch at some point when you just can't adjust. But, so. Before we get to the OMF stuff, you had a whole thing with LeBron, some stuff's going on that Skip Bayless, I guess, brought up the other day. It was on Uninterrupted.
I couldn't believe this was
Is that
real.
A show?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Undisputed.
Undisputed. Yes. What's Uninterrupted? That's somebody.
I think it's LeBron's media company.
Yes. Fitting that I got that wrong. Okay.
I thought I was drunk when I heard this headline. Skip Bayless reports that LeBron James wants to run for president. This is real audio.
I'm close with a guy who is very close to LeBron. And this guy spent a lot of time with LeBron over All-Star Weekend in Chicago. And as soon as Shannon and I did this topic on Friday, this guy that I'm close to immediately texted me and he said, no, 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 no. He's really considering this. And he was way, and it's got a lot of whys on the end of way, way before Boogie came out with it. And the guy I know said it's a plan of his, but not yet a goal. But he emphasized he's really, all caps, considering running for president of the United States.
Okay. You voting for him?
I wouldn't vote for him to run a toll booth on the Mass Pike.
Do we have the sound of Dalen Keefe reacting to this? Because I would love to hear what Keefe had to say.
I think Keefe might be a bigger hater of LeBron than I am.
He might be,
which
yeah.
is unbelievable.
Rich, you're in, I'm sure.
I'll move to Ireland. There's no way. Come on, LeBron James. Now, The Rock said he was going to run for president. A lot of guys.
I might
said
vote for The Rock.
I know you. I know
very
you.
Very handsome man.
I know you would.
I would take everybody serious.
But LeBron James.
Why not?
That is a guy who would vote for LeBron.
Wiggy, of course, friend of the show, who we've actually had on the podcast and sounded. The most eloquent he's ever sounded is in his entire life. I was stunned the entire time I tried. I had no idea what to do. We were Lord Hobo and everything.
I mean, what's dancing on a pole? I mean, that's just showing.
It's all
you see great that athleticism. At, you see that at Circus Dole all the time.
Circus Dole.
But, Keefe, Keefe cannot stand LeBron. He can't stand Kyrie either. Some guys maybe have heard or not that I get to go on their show a fair amount. You obviously work on OMF.
Yes.
That is your job, actually, at the station. And you fed them some of my work the other day.
I did.
And they decided that they wanted to give me shit. So then I went on Mud at Night, and I talked about it a little bit. And do we have sound of me talking? Do we have, like, what? I don't know what we have right now.
But I don't know where Nick was going with this. Nick wrote an article saying that loss to the Lakers proved that they're a contender for the title.
Do you remember the Green Teamers?
For the champion.
Stop. Hold on, do you remember? Stop right there. Glenn calling me a Green Teamer? That's cute. At some point before the All-Star break, when I wrote about Daniel Tice going down, possibly being injured and everything, and I said how this exposed a weakness for the Celtics and everything, this is the same guy who complimented me when I wrote that.
Green Teamers calling, I'm excited about this.
It's just, he knows that I'm not like that.
He knows you're not a Green Teamer.
Yeah, that's just Glenn. Anytime somebody says anything even remotely like, well, that's kind of positive about the Celtics. No, we can't. That's a Green Teamer.
Do you remember the Green Teamer?
It's easy, it's lazy, it's fine. And look, it's a routine that's worked for him forever. I mean, that's why he's been around for the past like 50 years or whatever, right? He's 75 now, I think is what it is.
175.
And this is what he does too. Anytime he'll take the teams that are outside of here, and he'll say, those are the teams that are going to win. It's not going to be the teams in Boston. No way. Right. No shot. And then when that team wins, he's going to say, oh, I never said I didn't want him to win. Of course, I want him to win. And then everybody just kind of lets it go because, like, oh, okay. Glenn just, you know, whatever. Like, they just let it slide.
In Glenn's world, there are no upsets in the NBA playoffs. There are none.
Exactly.
You know, like, no eight seeds can beat a one seed. The Dallas Mavericks never lost in a series to the Golden State Warriors at home. And Baron Davis. Like, that doesn't happen.
No.
The favorites always win. So,
every time.
So if you have small chance of winning, you're a cute little team, and you just don't even go to the playoffs. Like, why? What's the point?
The Thunder are, I can understand someone calling them a cute little team, because I don't think they have a chance in hell. To put the Celtics in the same group, to me, that's just... Anyways, what did Lou and Christian have to say?
Do you remember the Green Teamers?
For the championship.
Hold on. Do you remember the Green Teamers used to write this? when the Celtics would beat the Golden State Warriors out there in the regular season.
When the Warriors were good, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. They would write the same thing. They would say, oh, the Celtics are suddenly contenders because they beat the Warriors. Regular season, postseason, day and night.
Say it again.
Day and night.
My only thing was, no, that game there, and I know they beat the Clippers too, but that game there showed why they're not a title contender. That game there showed me why you should be upset for Danny Ainge not going there, because the difference, when you looked at their bench, you know, and you saw Caldwell Pope coming off the bench, and Caruso, Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, Kuzma's coming off the bench. They've got veterans. Look what the Clippers have.
Look what
Milwaukee has.
Here comes.
Like, you've got a great starting five. And the fact that Danny didn't go out there and get you a veteran presence coming off the bench and being a scorer, and maybe it's just a better option than Brad Wanamaker.
There's no better option than Brad Wanamaker.
Wait. I jumped the gun a little bit. There's got to be something else. We got to have a little more.
Oh, yeah. We said way more.
And the fact that Danny didn't go out there and get you a veteran presence coming off the bench and being a scorer, and maybe it's just a better option than Brad Wanamaker.
Isaiah Thomas.
That tells me I'm looking at this team, and when you get to the postseason, when this team does bow out, we're going to look at a seven-game series and say Milwaukee in six, whatever it might be. Then we're going to look at bench scoring.
Yep.
They're going to get dominated.
Can the six guys
they have stay healthy and dominate teams?
Very, very good.
But at some point, like 7, 8, 9, you know, the P.J. Browns, the
Eddie
Houses. That's
it. There it is. The money shot right there. Stop. You're going to say P.J. Brown.
Like 7, 8, 9, you know, the P.J. Browns, the Eddie Houses.
And 9? We said it on this show. They needed to add bench scoring.
They do.
For sure. And I get it. Lou's not like – Lou also criticized me for the whole Hayward stuff.
I don't know how you didn't watch that game and weren't disappointed in Gordon Hayward in that effort. Like, Jaylen Brown showed up in the fourth quarter. Gordon Hayward didn't.
And that's why I can't really get mad at Lou, because he just didn't read the story.
I don't know you want to be on the side of, like, you know, Nick. It's sort of like, you know.
why are you being so disrespectful?
Because
I
go back to Horford again.
What did Nick Fryer do to you?
Nothing.
Because if he saw that, he'd see how I ripped – well, not ripped, but I criticized Hayward. You know, you go and play the Clippers and the Lakers, and you shoot 30.5%. against those two teams combined. And then obviously you go off against the Timberwolves. It's not like that's, you can't say he's back.
Nine, you know, the P.J. Browns, the Eddie Houses.
But you're going to, Eddie House, of course, James Posey, absolutely. But you're going to say P.J. Brown, okay, when that year, 07-08, P.J. Brown, when he was with the Celtics, he shot 34% in the regular season. Now, he shot 46% in the postseason, but he also played like...
He had some big moments in the playoffs.
He averaged 2.9 points per game. Seriously, you're going to cite P.J. Brown, really?
But he was, like, literally the last guy in their playoff rotation, right?
Come on.
Number 10?
P.J. Brown is part of that, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
KG's in foul trouble. Okay, P.J., you're getting some extended minutes here in the first quarter.
I'm not mad at Lou. Like, I can't get mad at Lou. We don't have the Fourier sound, right? I don't think. But I complimented Fourier.
Christian's the only one at the station who has any sense.
And then he goes and distances himself from me.
See, it's Nick, right? Nick Fryer?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so I agree with him. See, I mean, I guess it just depends on what side of the fence you're sitting on. Because I think, okay, there's a better sign of them being a title contender than not. I mean, and you could also say, hey, look, they got hosed at the end of that game. They got job. It was no way the refs were going to allow that game to leave, the Celtics to leave L.A., on Kobe night with a win.
Honestly, I didn't even think about the Kobe night when I was critical of the refs in the piece that I wrote. But the next day when Glenn was back, he kind of tried to distance himself.
Well, the fact is that, you know, I think everyone's kind of prematurely, you know, writing their ticket and, you know, sending them off to the promised land. I think they're all a little bit too early.
Christian, I gave you, first of all, he complains about how Glenn is such a basketball snob.
Right, Nick Fryer?
Yeah. He remembered my name. I'll give him that. I'm stunned that he remembered my name. But like, there's no way anybody has ever said Fourier is the only person that has any sense at this station. He should save, anytime I've said that, he should save those cuts.
I would agree with you. Christian Fourier, in that 15-20 second cut, he was 3 for 3. He said Nick Fryer's headline was correct. Which was, I agree with your headline.
Thank you.
It did prove that they were contenders, because you had no Kemba Walker. You're playing on the road. It was a very narrow game. All the calls went against them. The script set up for the Lakers to win,
mm-hmm.
and they lost by what, two?
Right.
117-115.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you could say...
14-12.
Yeah, it was a two-point game, whatever.
But yes, sorry.
There's no way you could say in that game that proved they're not contenders. That just... They came up short, but they didn't come up short because the team's missing a guy or... Wait, they literally are missing a guy in Kemba, but missing a piece in terms of a trade piece that Danny did not go get. I don't think Isaiah Thomas is the difference between making them contenders or not.
No,
there's,
he's not.
There's
no
arguments being made there.
No.
But I would say in that segment, Christian Fourier has more basketball sense than Glenn Ordway and Lou Maloney, which is surprising.
Yes.
Because Christian is not that
he likes basketball a lot,
and that's his Lakers that they just beat. So that was a good point.
Yes. Well, that's why he's nervous, because he sees like my Lakers are going out here, and then they lost. They got blown out in Boston. They barely beat them without Kemba Walker. Look, the Celtics, do they need to add some bench scoring? Yes, I think that would have been ideal. You get rid of Poirier, you bring someone in, that would have been ideal, because fine, you have Robert Williams who could be a rim protector and help with that. I understand that. So you add some offense. So they needed to make a deal at the deadline. I think they should have. Does that mean that they're not title contenders? Well, when you go and see Jason Tatum emerge like he has, I would say no. Do the Bucks have a better chance? Yes. Do the Clippers have a better chance at winning the whole thing? Yes. Do the Lakers? Absolutely. That does not mean that the Celtics are not title contenders. Glenn likes... See, and this is where I don't get Glenn either, too. It's like...
With what? The Keel team?
He just... Well, just in general.
Glenn is Mr. Celtic.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Do you have anything else before we get going?
What is the ceiling for this team?
Are you they're title contenders.
Contenders, but are you saying that they will win it? Is that the ceiling? Because you can be a contender but not be good enough to win it, if that makes sense. Am I?
If you go under that, no. If I say a title contender, that means that they can win it. I'm fine with standing by that. Yeah. I don't think that they're. Do not think their chances are as good as those other teams that I mentioned. And I don't. And Glenn thinks the Raptors are a cute little team. I mean, again, I put them in a similar category to the Celtics.
Right.
But I don't say that they're. I don't think they don't have a chance. I wouldn't say that. I think they have a chance too. It would be tough, but we see the Clippers are not. They've been up and down. They're still an elite team. The Lakers have been up and down. I get it's the regular season, but you know there's all these concerns about the Sixers because they've immensely underperformed. But when we see other teams going through ups and downs, like you know, shit happens.
Yep.
So that's why it's just the idea that they can't be contenders. I'm not saying they're going to guarantee it and go win it, Lou. Freaking Christ, man. It's like
PJ Browns, the Eddie Houses.
PJ Brown. That's the first guy you cite. God, Lou. All right. You got anything else, Ty?
No, I'm good.
All right. We will talk to you all again next week.
It's Nick, right? Nick Fryer?
Yeah.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.